flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday. You heard it. We're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Hit the streets, Randy.
We in these streets.
Here we are until 2 o'clock this afternoon. We'd love to see you. The bar just opened, and there's seats available if you want to come by and hang out. And it'll be full pretty soon, but we'll be here till 2 o'clock this afternoon. Tons of stuff to get into as a lot of news broke locally and nationally over the last 24 hours. Good morning to you, Randy.
What's happening, man? Yeah, dog. That man ain't lying on his kids, did he?
What?
That man Liam Coe ain't lying on his kids, right? His kid wasn't at the doctor and he get to his phone. But anyway.
Is that what he said?
Anyway, what's happening,
well, I'll
man?
Say this about Liam Cohen. I know we'll talk more about it later.
Fast riser.
It better work out in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Because if it doesn't, it's going to be pretty hard to get another one.
Yeah, man. But what's happening, man? Yeah, we up here at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, man. As like you said, getting ready for a big football weekend. As the tickets will be punched, obviously, to the Super Bowl. United got a game tomorrow that we just found out yesterday. Like, oh, they play. On Saturday, exhibition and everything. And, you know, and I got Jersey Mike here. It's his last day here at 99 The Game on to New York City and everything like that. That's been our guy. So, obviously, we'll have some fun with him today. But, yeah, man, it's this coaching carousel. It's one of those things, and I said it earlier this week, I still believe they need to move it behind the Super Bowl, the Monday after the Super Bowl. You're going to miss what maybe nothing important. I mean, obviously, you wanted the Senior Bowl and all that stuff. You want to have somebody take see your damn scouts down there.
Right.
You know, but, yeah, it was a crazy day. Some good fits. Like we just found out when right before we came on air, Pete Carroll.
Coaching Carroll Cell.
Yeah. I like what you did there.
Do you?
Yes, I do. Actually.
Okay, good.
But yeah, so he's got he's going to Vegas, which I love.
I do
because
too.
The one thing about Pete is a culture builder, and they need all the culture they can in Vegas right now. And obviously, his age will be something that most people talk about and everything like that. Rifle is always he's the oldest coach in the league, but
yeah, he's gonna be 74 years old before the season starts. I understand why people bring it up.
Yeah. So, but you think about the energy that he coaches with and things like that. I think Pete will be fine. It's all about the staff, but he can't be a quarterback.
Yeah,
he can't be a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean it's a pretty similar thing when we talk about the Falcons defensive coordinator
right.
hire. It's like, that's great. That guy's qualified. Now, right. I'm not saying Jeff Ulbrich does the same thing as Pete Carroll in terms of coaching, but you know what I mean.
Right.
If he doesn't get the right people, then ultimately it doesn't matter.
Right.
Like, Pete Carroll has done a really good job in a lot of different places. It didn't take off in Seattle until they got Russell Wilson.
Right.
Now, it only had been a couple years,
right.
but it didn't really start going until they had the quarterback
yes.
in place.
And then it was so crazy because we were looking at like the Seattle teams and you were reading out the draft picks. Look at all them damn studs that Pete drafted.
Yeah, that's how they did it. That's how they did it. They built it the right way. And obviously, they signed some free agents there. They were able to stock up on the defensive line because they had a rookie quarterback in Russell Wilson. But what they did was they identified the needs that they had, and they went out and found dudes in the draft that fit what they wanted to do. And they found them all throughout the draft.
Yes.
They found guys in the first round
yes.
that started on that defense. They found guys in the fifth round that started on defense. They
and
found
everything guys was scheme-specific,
exactly. They found the types of body types they wanted to play in the secondary. They found the types of linebackers that they wanted. So he hasn't really changed what he wants to do
right.
defensively. He's going to go out and try to find those same types of guys in Las Vegas. It's just a matter of can you do it again? Because they kind of weren't able to recreate it, which is why he's not really in Seattle still, is because eventually
you got to pay your quarterback.
Pay your quarterback, and you know you're probably just not going to get Hall of Famers in the fourth and fifth round every single year.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they were able to do. But no, I mean, look, I probably would have been able to talk myself into Pete Carroll being a good hire anywhere.
Yeah.
I thought Dallas would have been fine. I think he would have been probably the right person to do that. Jerry would have never done it, but it probably would have been the right person to do it. If they would have hired him in Jacksonville, you could have talked me into that. Now that he's in Vegas, you could talk me into that.
Right.
I think good coaches and good builders like that can work anywhere.
Yes.
But you're right. That's exactly what he's got to go down there and do is build something that just doesn't exist, which is a culture. It's kind of funny. Tom Brady hired a 70-plus-year-old coach, and it wasn't Bill Belichick.
Right. Well, Bill's got a job.
Bill has a job. He didn't – I guess technically he did. He hadn't signed the papers then. But
Now he has. Bill has a job, man, and everything. Oh, and then, you know, as we were talking yesterday in the show, Licky Licky, the Braves made a move.
They did.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's a big
move. Just when we asked.
It's a big move.
It's a move. It's a very Braves move.
Yes.
It fits exactly.
That's why I say it's big.
And I don't mean, I'm not trying to sound dismissive. I think Jurickson Profar is a nice signing. But it's exactly what they do, which is, if you're looking for a reason to, whether you need to talk yourself into it or believe in it or whatever, I think they've earned the benefit of the doubt in situations like this. This is a guy who's not young. He's not old, but he's not young. He's been in the league for a long time. He adjusted something in his swing and his approach and had a great year. Some teams look at that and they're like, that's an outlier.
Right.
The Braves look at it and they're like, he figured it out.
So
they got it. They're basically taking a gamble. This is what they do. They pay guys on what, you know, whether it's an outlier season or you've been injured for a minute and they believe that you're coming back or whatever. Like, they've got their own process in going about it. It's always a bargain process. It's a pretty solid contract that they got Profar on.
Yeah.
And sometimes that guy turns out to be Chris Sale. Sometimes that guy turns out to have a nice year like Josh Donaldson. Sometimes that guy turns out to be Charlie Morton for a handful of
years. He's going to play good next year.
Oh, yeah. I have no doubt.
Year after? I don't know.
Jurickson Profar is going to be. Sometimes Orlando Arcia in his first year.
He's going to be good. He's going to be good next year.
And, you know, I saw people talking about what his position is. He's an outfielder. He's played shorts. He hasn't played shortstop since 2018.
Right.
So he's an outfielder. He's going to play now. That's interesting. As far as when Acuna comes back,
right.
Now maybe Acuna can't DH him because he got Ozuna who has to play. He can't play in the outfield. You've obviously got Kelnick. You still don't want to give up on that experiment,
right.
But it didn't go great in year one.
Right.
But yeah, they went out and they made a move. I think Jurickson Profar addresses a need, certainly, that they had. And I think one of the reasons they haven't done a ton so far is because they're counting on guys actually being healthy this year.
And counting on people actually being good.
Yeah, right. Healthy and when you're on the field actually playing up to the level that they've expected you to play at.
Exactly. But, it is something. And you know, we were mentioning yesterday, you're not going to compete with the Dodgers as far as you're looking for offseason headlines as far as spending. That's just not what we do here in Atlanta. But, he's a good player. Never heard of him before until I looked him up yesterday after the move was made. It's like, oh, had a good year for him. And then you continue to see things. He was very valuable for the Padres last year, as people were saying. So hopefully he comes in. And just like most of these guys that Double-A brings in, they usually have a really good first year. It's all about, you know, because Matt Olson first year in was outstanding. Then – so hopefully, you know, and these are the guys I'm talking about. They bring in the homegrown dudes are going to do homegrown dude stuff. I'm talking about the guys that they acquired, things like that. So they just hope that it works out. Still a long way to go, but yeah, I don't. Obviously, you got to win games without them, but I mean, you're going to be counting the days until you get your best player back.
Yep.
Injured and all, or off of injury or whatever.
No, I mean, that's what it is. That's the – I think, yeah, they made the playoffs last year still without him, which is pretty impressive. But this whole thing hinges on Ronald Acuna's ability to be on the field and be Ronald Acuna.
Right.
Like, when he's Ronald Acuna, they win 100-plus games, and they're a formidable opponent for anybody. When he's not, you're piecing it together, and, you know, you're okay.
Yeah.
You're all right. Now, I also think him being in the lineup shouldn't have as much of an impact on everyone else in the lineup as it seems to.
Right.
Matt Olson's allowed to also be good, even if Ronald Acuna's not out there. Like, Austin Riley doesn't have to wait till the second half of the year to get it going, even if Ronald Acuna's not out there.
Right.
Like, all these guys have to play up to the level that they were paid to play at, whether or not Ronald Acuna's on the field. But no, I mean, Ronald Acuna's health, to me, is the single most important thing in that organization.
I agree. That and then the pitching rotation. Because, I mean, Chris is going to be – we don't know. I mean, it seems like Spencer Strider is going to be back before Ronald. But when you look at it, everything else behind, you got a lot of young pitchers that did well. Schwelly and all those guys from last year, can they carry it over to another year and then another year and all those different things with that? And then, obviously, you lost pretty much your whole damn bullpen. You still got your closer and things like that. But can you find some guys, those middle relievers, those guys that are set up men and everything like that, are they on the roster right now? Or does Alex have another Alex move out there? Probably is there probably a 47-year-old relief pitcher out there that Alex says, I can get one more year out of him.
Yeah, he'll find him.
Yeah, I can get one more year out of him. He's down in the minors in Mexico. But, yeah, I think I can get
him. You think he's going to go get why can't – Eastbound and Down. Why can't I think of his name? The pitcher from the show Eastbound and Down. Kenny Powers. He's going to go get the actual – because they had Kenny Powers, like the sort of lookalike from last year.
They did.
You're going to get the actual Kenny Powers
on this team? That's what I'm saying. Like Alex, we were talking yesterday about Garth. Garth got a wide net.
I play real sports. I'm trying to be the best at exercising.
I'm sure Alex has a net like that also out there. There's an old relief pitcher down in Mexico right now.
Who's, spin rate, Randy.
It's all about his spin rate. That's what I've been told more than anything, the spin rate.
If his spin rate's the right rate, then he's spinning, and they're going to get him. Spinning.
I guess.
Speaking of injuries,
I guess.
Unfortunately, Jalen Johnson.
What the hell?
Hurt again.
What the hell?
Has to come off the court last night. The Hawks lose to the
damn Raptors.
Yes. And so that's three losses in a row now. And Jalen Johnson comes out in the first half of that game. You go back and look at the play, it's weird.
I was like, because when I saw it, and I'm like, did he yank his arm?
Didn't really look like it.
It didn't look like it.
But you know how shoulders are weird. Yeah. You know, he just kind of get knocked in the wrong way or whatever. Yeah. He was already – I think it was the other shoulder that he was dealing with before.
Yeah, it was.
Maybe he's got bad shoulders.
It could be. And it's not something – I mean, we can have fun as a joke, but some people just do, you know. And you know, sometimes they just slip out and things like that. But, yeah, that was when I saw that, it's like
– my cousin Hunter had bad shoulders. She has dislocate all the time.
That's what I'm saying. It's actually a real thing. My nephew is getting had surgery yesterday. Tristan, dealing with the same thing. His shoulder would always pop in and out, and so they went in and corrected it yesterday. But yes, things like that happen, and it's unfortunate for the Hawks because he's your second best player, and we see the difference when he's in there and when he isn't. Yeah. And so we don't have a word on how long this injury is going to be or how long he's going to be out. Mm-hmm. He's going to be out.
Yeah,
he's going to miss some time. It's just all about, you know.
Yeah, if it's, like, severe or minor.
Exactly.
That's what it is now. And, look, as soon as we know, we'll let you know. But, yeah, I mean, it's tough because since he's become a major piece, he's hurt a lot.
Yep.
He missed a lot of games last year.
Yep.
He's already missed quite a few games this year.
Yep.
He's going to miss more games now. Like, sucks.
Yeah.
Like, you're really counting on this guy.
Because you see
you're a pretty good team when he's in the lineup.
Yeah, because you see what he is and everything like that and what his team is when he's healthy. And now you don't have somebody that can replace that. And so now you got the collective win
off
the thing. Trey has to go to another level, all those things. Curious, you think he makes the All-Star team as a reserve?
He who?
Trey.
I think so.
You think so?
Okay. I think so. I think he should at least.
I think he should.
Yeah.
But you know what? Could have.
I think his assist numbers are just so insane,
right?
And so much better than everybody else's. That I think he probably. Well, God, it would be nice if they weren't 22 and 22 though. If they were like, you know, if they just, you could split some of those close, like last night, if they just came up with one of those shots.
Yeah.
They had a number of good looks late in that game last night and couldn't get anything to go. God, if they were just like 8 or 9 games over 500, probably be easier for him to get in. I think he'll get in. Should get in. Hopefully he gets in.
Let's hope so.
This hour is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PADLYBuys.com. We'll come back. We'll get into what's trending here on a Friday morning. It's a happy hour Friday, broadcasted live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. We'll be here till 2 o'clock this afternoon. Come by and see us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now Dyson looks to get it in. He does to Onyeka in the middle. He fires the three at the buzzer, and it's no good, and that's the game. And the Atlanta Hawks have lost another game, this time to a woeful Toronto Raptor team that's 1-19 on the road.
Yeah, I mean, defense was good in the second half, but that's how we should have started the game. We've had this kind of, like, thing, for a while now where, we'll play really good against certain teams, some of the best teams in the league, and then some of the teams that you look at the standings and you think you should beat, and people around you feel like you should beat, you don't come out and you play to your competition. And sometimes, when you're in a league, these are NBA players too, and they take advantage.
Yeah. He's right about playing to the level of competition. You know how many road wins the Raptors have?
What?
How many they got?
2.
That's right. Coming into last night, very good guess. Coming into last night, they had 1, and then now they have 2.
Are the Hawks good enough to use that phrase, playing out of your competition?
No, because you're down to the competition.
Okay, thank you.
You've done well against the 3 best teams in the Eastern Conference.
Just checking.
Now, I will say this. Like, things are obviously a lot different when Jalen Johnson's not on the court. We know that. That's verifiable over the last couple of years for sure.
Right.
He started the game. He got banged up in the first half. He had to leave. It looked like a left shoulder injury. We don't know exactly the extent of it. When we do, we'll let you know. But you still got to be able to beat the Raptors.
The Raptors.
Home. The Raptors are 12-32, man.
Are they tanking, or are they just bad?
They're just, well, a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B, okay. I think. I mean, they traded all their guys.
Yeah.
Think of all the good guys that played for the Raptors the last handful of years that are on other teams now. They've been paid big money, too.
Right.
They traded off all those guys that got some draft picks. They're building around Scotty Barnes, who's a really nice player. And that's kind of what it is. I mean, so there you go. I mean, you should be beating teams like that.
Yeah.
The Pistons game the other night, losing to the Pistons isn't the end of the world. The way you lost to them is pretty bad. You were non-competitive, and you got smoked on your home court. Those are Raptors, man.
The damn Raptors.
Yeah.
Right, well, moving along. I mean, because right now it's going to seem like you – no, it's going to – it does seem like that you're going to be without Jalen for a minute. Then, I mean, obviously, can you get the performance? It's so bad, I already forgot their damn names. Do you get the guys from the –
Well, you did last night, a new one. You had Dominic Barlow out there.
Dominic Barlow, hold it down. What was the dudes last week from over at College Park that came in and went ham?
Plowden.
That guy. Can he come back and do
Daquan
something?
Daquan Plowden.
I don't know, because Reece Shea's out. And
Keaton Wallace.
Keaton Wallace.
I remembered him.
Can they come over here and do something? Now, the only bright spot is that Onyeka Okongwu's playing good. He's playing pretty good at the center position.
Yeah.
Meaning he's playing better than Clint was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
they're 0-3 with him in the starting lineup.
I understand that. Because yesterday you said –
I called for it.
Yesterday you said the same thing.
Get
I called
Capella
for
out
it.
Of here.
They're 0-2. Now, I mean, they lost 3, and that's just – I mean, especially when you had the momentum as far as above the play-in line, and now you're back below the play-in line or right at the play-in line. So
they got off there last night. Even when Jalen was on the floor, I mean, the game just got off to a terrible start. They were down huge early.
But
the Raptors, I mean.
They were battling back, and they battled back and everything like that. But they just didn't make the plays at the end, man. And
they didn't make the plays at the beginning either.
But I'm just looking at it from a team where, okay, where are you at with if Jalen's out? What do you do? We talked about Clint. We talked about trade deadlines in 2 weeks or something like that.
Less than 2 weeks.
Do you make a move? Obviously, we know they need a backup point guard. If it wasn't obvious again last night, mm-hmm. but yet that's another move. How long is Jalen going to be out? Is this something that, you know, it may force you to have to put, you know, Dre in the starting lineup now?
Yeah, this might change your thought process, too, on the deadline.
Yeah.
It's like, if Jalen Johnson's going to be out for a prolonged period of time, like, I mean, do you trade to try to get a guy that can fill the void a little bit? Or are you just like, are we really going to try to make a big-time splashy trade right now with our second-best guy out? Like, maybe we just keep these guys.
I don't know.
You know?
But I think that they want to look at it from what you just said. How long is he going to be out? Because if he's going to be out a week or something like that, okay, yeah, let's go do something. But if not, it's like, okay, he'll be back in a month or so. That's a long-ass time to be without your second-best player in the NBA.
You can't be giving especially up 11 points in the first quarter to Grady Dick.
Grady? Who?
Yeah. Never mind. It was just too much Dick early.
See, I knew you were going to jump on that one, but that's okay. That's all right. I knew you were gonna jump all over that.
It was a barrage of Dick in the first quarter.
Yeah, he's in a row, y'all.
They couldn't stop it.
Well, at least Bogey played good.
Kinda.
Yeah, Bogey played good last night.
Yeah.
You know, this slump went over. I didn't realize. I heard this on Mike.
No,
Mike,
yeah, Bogey played good.
When Mike and Carl, he had like 100 straight games with a 3-pointer.
Uh huh. Yeah, and then that went away.
Yeah, unbelievable, man.
And then DeAndre finally hit a couple. He had missed like 15 straight threes or something like that.
Is he coming back down to earth?
I don't know. I think he's banged up, right? It's always the thing with DeAndre Hunter. If he can get a prolonged stretch of health, mm-hmm. he can play some pretty good basketball. Then remember, he missed a couple games last week because he's got, you know,
something.
Whatever. And then now he's kind of playing like it.
Yeah, man.
So why I would have traded him 2 weeks ago when he was playing good.
This team is going to have to do what they usually do. They got the scrap, and Trey's going to have to keep playing at a high level and, you know, try to keep this team afloat and not just – completely nosedive and collapse, you know, and that's something that you don't want because you saw the potential of what this team can be and everything like that, and I just don't want to see this team take a damn nosedive. And three in a row, I mean, you do get the damn Raptors again, but three in a row?
It's not good.
Not good at all.
It's not good. You finally got to come home and you lost them. Here's Alex Anthopoulos talking about signing Jurickson Profar.
Yeah, we assessed the free agent market, trade market, at beginning of the offseason. No, based on last year, of course, you know, we had Jurickson as the second best free agent bat, just based off the season last year. That's how good we thought he played and performed.
So there you go. They got their second best guy.
Who was the best?
I don't know. He didn't say.
He said second best
free agent bat.
So I'm assuming the first one was Juan Soto?
That probably would be a good option. Yeah. Probably be a good guess. All right, so you missed out on Soto.
Yeah, you missed out on Juan. You got the second guy.
So they spent $770 million on Juan Soto.
You spent $42 on the second.
You spent $42 million on Jurickson Profar.
Hey, man, we got a
dollar for dollar, you know?
It looks like you guys made the –
There is no way Juan Soto is going to outperform Jurickson Profar by $730 million more.
I agree with that.
There's no way.
I agree. Trying to find some positive. But this guy, I mean, he fits the need. Obviously, Ronnie's going to be out, so he's going to pencil in to where Ronnie is. Do you think, as we're just spitball, right, brainstorm, whatever, Mike starts as a leadoff this year?
Good question. Probably. I would think that would be what I would do.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's healthy and
right.
in center field. Played
right.
great down the stretch. Incredible in the playoffs. So him in center leading off. They said they're going to do Kelnick in right field to start until Acuna's healthy. Again, Kelnick was not great last year. Like,
he had moments, but then there was a couple stretches,
but for the most part, he was not very good.
Right.
And then you'll have Profar in left field. And then, you know, when Acuna comes back, maybe Kelnick will get some of those starts in left field, whatever. But Profar is going to be your left fielder for the most part. It's a pretty good outfield when Acuna comes back.
Exactly.
I mean, you know what I mean? So that's good. Your infield is still intact. And when healthy, very good.
Right.
Now, it sounds like Arcia is going to be the shortstop.
Yeah.
And defensively, that's fine.
Yeah.
Arcia is a good
But we understand with the bat, it was a big-time struggle for him.
He was historically the worst hitter ever. In terms of, like, clutch runners in scoring position, late in game situations in baseball history.
He had a new big offseason, man. Fix the swing, like Russ. You said, made some adjustments.
He was down there with Jurickson.
Yeah, man, made some adjustments and all those different things. Stuff. You know, I'm just trying to find it and stay positive with this thing.
Well, no, look, here's the positive. If Orlando Arcia is batting ninth and everyone else in the lineup's doing their job, doesn't really matter that much.
But that's the thing about it. Everybody has to do their damn job.
But if everybody else sucks, and then he's coming up in all these big moments, and you're counting on
him. And he always seemed to come up in big damn moments.
Every time it was late in the game, and you were down by two, and the bases were loaded, here comes Orlando Arcia to strike out competitively on three pitches. Over and over and over again. So, if everybody else does their job, and maybe the guy who's batting eighth can actually get a hit and drive those guys in, and then Arcia can strike out and the inning's over, but you have the lead, then it's great.
Okay.
Then it's great. Then you can deal with it. As long as everyone else is doing what they're supposed to do. Atlanta United have their debut exhibition match on Saturday. That's tomorrow in Chattanooga. That's going to start at 2:55 right here on 92.9 The Game.
Okay.
Why are they starting it at 2:55 and not 3? I don't know. I'm not sure. Oh, the broadcast is going to start at 2:55. Okay. Yeah. What time does the game start? About 3. Okay.
So hey, they only give you like a five-minute pregame?
He's not doing it. I was going to say a little five-minute pregame show with Abe.
Eight to five-minute pregame
show? That's about all we need. Last year they gave him 90 minutes. They were like, you know what? Five will probably do it, man.
But
if anybody can get 5 minutes or 90 minutes worth of action into five, it's Abe.
Oh, yeah, man. Abe will get in and get out.
Nobody does more with less than Abe Gordon. I've always said that.
Have you always said that?
I've said that many times.
Okay, but I mean, we know this.
I've said it once.
As we talked to Garth yesterday, to me it seems like we're going to get a ramp up on these DPs that are coming in. Obviously, we don't know. Is Miggy in Atlanta? Did we get a picture of him?
Haven't seen anything today.
At Hartsville or anything?
Yeah, where's my spies out there? Come on.
Or anything like that. But obviously, there's a couple other guys. And as Garth kind of laid it out to us, the time period and the windows and all these different things of having to get a guy in from the team to take it, their player from, it seems like it might come sometime this weekend, probably Sunday, maybe.
Yeah, right. I mean, as he was sort of giving us the timeline of all of their games wrapping up over there, I hope that'd be great. I mean, get the guys in here because you know what it is. I mean, they're going to have visa issues. It's going to take a while. All the international stuff seems to take 10 times as long with MLS teams. So the sooner they can start those processes, the better.
That wouldn't work.
What?
Russell Wilson and Pete, they don't like each other, right?
It didn't end great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't end great. Huh. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Interesting.
Pete's one of those guys, though. You know, there's never a bridge burned with Pete Carroll.
Okay.
He's always going to keep the door open. Now, with Russ, I don't know. Who knows? The reunion of Mr. Unlimited and I don't know.
I wouldn't
if I was Pete Carroll. We'll come back. Here on a happy hour Friday, live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. This hour is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PADLYBuys.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mm-hmm. Abe Gordon taking credit for the Jurickson Profar signing. I like that. He said Anthopoulos felt the pressure. Because we were talking about it.
I mean, I saw a couple of lines on TV when he was when he had his media available. He's kind of said something to that.
There you go.
He didn't say that they did it because people were saying it.
Well,
but
it
he mentioned that.
When was it? It was during the AMA 2 days ago that we were like, hey, Braves haven't really done anything yet. What's that? What's going on there? And then the next day they signed Jurickson Profar. So, I mean, correlation, causation?
It could be.
Up to you.
It could be. But we were just talking because I always talk, whenever you think about free agency in other sports, it's usually the best players go early.
Yeah.
And so that's why I was like, why did it take so long?
I don't know. I don't know. The other thing, too, with the Braves historically, with the free agent signings that they've made, they usually go snap up the guys they like early, too, whether it's the bullpen guys a couple years ago or whatever it is. Like, they normally are right on top of things. This one took a little longer as well. Ultimately, no one remembers when you sign people, just if they come in and have success. So if Profar comes in and plays good, then great. Great. And if he's the second best free agent hitter, like Anthopoulos said, according to them, then perfect, because they weren't going to get the first best
guy. Exactly. And so second.
You weren't going to outbid the Mets.
No, you could. No, you probably couldn't.
Like, if they had wanted to, do they even have it? I guess Liberty Media has it.
Liberty Media has it.
Yeah, they have it.
But, like, do they have that budget for the Braves?
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I mean, like, if they had wanted to, I suppose that they could have, because they're a multi-billion-dollar organization.
Yeah, they are. But it's so crazy. Like, what do you want to come here? Juan Soto was out to get the biggest contract.
Oh, so, yeah. Yes, if the Braves would have offered him $780 million, he would have happily come and played for the Braves.
Yeah, he was going after that bag, which I don't blame him.
No, of course not.
But then, and then you probably could ignore the fact that I don't think Double A likes Scott Boras at all.
Mm.
But still, I mean, we ain't got to be buddies. We ain't got to get no drinks.
No, we don't have to hang out.
Yeah, you would not sit in my suite. You know, you get your own suite or something like that.
But your guy can play for me, and here's your little percentage. Congratulations. Cool.
Hell yeah.
Another deal done by Scott Boras. Speaking of getting together and getting drinks with someone that you might not like, did you hear Ichiro's response to the one voter that didn't vote for him?
No.
They were interviewing him. He had like a press conference yesterday and talked about it and all that. And they asked him about the one guy not voting for him. And Ichiro was like, yeah, I'd like to have him over to the house, have a drink, maybe have a little chat. Ichiro wants to murder that guy.
Ichiro wants to kick his ass.
Yeah, Ichiro wants to poison the drink.
That's exactly what that is.
Bury that guy in the backyard.
Yeah, he wants to kick his ass.
I like that.
I'm not mad at it, though. But, I mean, because it is weird. You can't tell me that you didn't vote for him because you didn't think he was a good ball player. It's because I just don't want to. I don't think he deserves it or something like that. That has to be the mindset about not making somebody unanimous.
Maybe. I think that there's a couple different possibilities. We can have a conversation on gatekeeping because it might be that. It might be just, you know, what'd you say the guy's name was? Herbert?
Yeah.
Damn, or Hubert or something like that?
Oh, Hubert.
Maybe Hubert just has never voted for anyone first ballot before. And he's like, if I'm not voting for Willie Mays first ballot, then I'm not voting for Ichiro first ballot.
And he probably was around when Willie Mays.
If your name's Hubert, then probably you are.
Exactly.
And that's stupid. You should have voted for Willie Mays first ballot. And a lot of other people, you should have voted for first ballot as well, which is possible. The other thing that's possible now is in this day and age, like, we're going to find out who this guy is eventually, right?
Right.
It might very well benefit him when we do. Because he's going to become, very briefly, but he's going to become famous.
Did we ever find out who the other guys were?
The Griffey guys?
Yeah.
We found out who those guys were.
Okay.
This guy, if he decides to, is going to write a little column that explains why he didn't vote for Ichiro.
Right.
And a billion people are going to click on it, and he's going to get a little raise from his outlet, whatever
it is.
He
probably don't even have an outlet, dog.
We've got to have something. Some sort of affiliation. I don't know what his affiliation is. But if this happens and he does that, then, you know, he'll get his 15 minutes, and that'll be that. Now, ultimately, long-term, will it help his career? I don't know. But I wouldn't put it past people for doing that right now. Like, that's what it is. It's get clicks however you can.
Yeah.
We're a post-shame society, Randy.
Post-shame.
People will do anything to get attention.
And then come back and say, I'm sorry.
And then, be like, you know what? That's not really reflective of who I am.
I do apologize.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is
that's
reflective.
You dork.
You know, because you know what you are?
A dork.
A collection of what you do. That's it. All you are is what you do. You can try to think you're something different or tell people you're something different. But if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, that's who you are.
Yeah.
So there it is. You're the guy that didn't vote for Ichiro. Congratulations.
Whatever.
I'm proud of you.
I'm looking at the next topic that Abe has up here. With the Falcons thing, I like the question. They're hesitant to place real expectations. I don't know if I ain't hesitant. I'm not going to.
Yeah, so the question is just if you're going to sort of take every fan base in the city and gauge the general feeling towards the team regarding the upcoming season or the season that's currently ongoing, where are you? Even the most optimistic of Falcons fans, after what happened last season, have to still be hesitant.
Hell yeah.
Right? Like, there was a lot of reasons to believe that last year was going to be the year that they snapped the playoffs.
Was it? Let's go. I'm not talking about the moves, and Kirk and all those. But again, I do believe they should have won the playoffs. But I'm saying, are we surprised that the Falcons did this?
No, because I don't think anyone was predicting that they were beyond on the playoff bubble.
Right.
I don't think maybe there were some people that were saying, I don't know, 12, 13 wins. I wasn't there, and you weren't there.
Right.
But I was 10. You know, maybe if things break your way and you get hot or whatever it is, maybe 11, whatever. But you also played in a horrible division and you should have been able to win it.
Right.
Ultimately, you didn't because you collapsed down the stretch. But, yeah, I mean, I think if get everything that went into the expectation of last season of addressing the biggest need and signing some guys late on defense that you thought were going to maybe be a little bit more impactful than they were, being in the division, all of it, everything that sort of went into what was the optimism of the 2024 season, and then them still not doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to be hesitant.
Right.
You're like, they couldn't do it with all that. Now, again, there's context of how it fell apart and why it didn't happen. And I also understand the optimism of, all right, I like the young quarterback. Can't wait to see what he's got for an entire season. I feel like Bijan's certainly one of the best offensive skill position guys in the NFL.
He is.
I like Drake. I like that. There's pieces that you like, but hesitant is fine.
Like, accurate.
Okay. Yeah. How could you not be?
I'm not hesitant. I'm just like, because I think when you have,
what are you?
I am in the ballpark with this football team and this organization. I make sure I put it all in compass with the Falcons organization.
Yeah.
I don't believe it. Now, could I change my mind as if I get down there and you watch him practice and all those things? It's a possibility.
What do you mean? What do you not believe?
I don't believe that in this organization. I don't. I don't want to say they're not serious about winning, because like you're not in this business to be not serious about winning.
Right.
You know what I mean? I hate that phrase when people say that, but I don't believe in them. I cannot believe in them because they continue to do the same thing. You know, anytime there's an optimistic thing about them, they do this every time. But that's this organization. This is not this team, this collection of players. It's just how the organization rolls. And I go back to our conversation we had after you were on vacation, after we got back after their last game. And you were absolutely correct. They're not serious about certain things. They're not serious about defense. I don't want to say they're not serious about it. They don't put a priority on it.
Yeah.
They don't put the priority on the defense like they should.
It's just odd to me that after all these years,
yes.
And like how high up the chain it goes to be making these decisions, I really don't know. But after all these years of sort of trying the same philosophy, that it wouldn't click to at some point, you know what, maybe we should invest a little bit more heavily and seriously on the defensive side of the ball. Because, again, remember, like when you hired Dan Quinn, Dan Quinn's a defensive coach, right? And that was there was a brief moment, ever so brief, but there was a brief moment where they did spend a little draft capital,
yes,
on that side of the ball.
Yes.
They drafted some guys in the first round on the defensive side of the ball. They were signing some free agents that fit the exact need that they needed on that side of the ball. And it wasn't the last minute, like, last day of training camp, this guy's still available signing.
Right.
This was like the first day of free agency. This is what we need on our defensive line kind of signing. And, oh, lo and behold, they actually had a top 10 defense. You know, that was the last time they did, when they spent a couple first rounds. And, again, those guys didn't turn out to be great. Tack. Vic, all those guys did. I thought Keanu Neal was going to be very good had he not been healthy, and he had some good years before he got hurt. But like, that's the last time they seriously invested, like in a priority way on that side of the ball, and that's the last time they were actually good. They've been so bad, and the Hawks are the same way. They've been so bad on defense for so long. Remember the first half of the year when Ryan Nielsen had the defense, like they were like 13th or something,
yes,
and everyone's like, "Damn, this defense." No, they were just so much better than they had been,
yes,
that you feel like they're
good. Yes.
Like, that's at times this year with the Hawks defense. Like, the Hawks defense. No, Hawks defense
not.
Is still not
it
good.
It's been better.
It's just better than it was.
Right.
But the Hawks still don't play defense at a consistent level that's going to win,
right,
like against real teams in the NBA. And again, that maybe is a similar mindset. I don't really know. I mean, it's hard when your best player, as much improved as Trey is defensively, he's just still always going to be a guy that you can kind of target. Mm-hmm. Offensively on the other side. But yeah, I mean, until the philosophy changes, it's hard for the expectation to change,
yeah,
with the Falcons.
And that's why I'll just keep it at that. And again, we talk to Falcon fans all the time, and the frustration in their voice, it's a frustrated fan base right now, and you should be frustrated. You're mad as hell. You know, you should be. That's why we were having fun yesterday as far as out there at United, and, you know, they're doing the they're doing all the renovations and new construction and everything, expanding the building. And we know that Falcon fans weren't able to go to training camp last year because the Falcons were doing all that. They might want to slow down construction. They might want to slow down construction. Yeah, you get them down Falcon fans up there now. sitting on that damn hill.
Sitting on that hot hill.
Sitting on that hot-ass hill down there. Yeah. And you let somebody make a play.
Kyle Pitts drops a pass.
Dude. dude, that's what I'm saying, dog.
The hill starts to – has anyone ever been booed at training camp before?
I don't know. But you let something go. You let that happen while them Falcon fans on that damn hill.
Yes.
It's going to be some.
Yes. It's a fan base that's like that's like one of those dormant volcanoes.
Yes.
You know?
And yes.
Every once
the
in a while –
the hill has eyes. eyes, exactly.
The hills have eyes, exactly right. They do, and mouths as well. But it's like you feel the rumblings.
Yeah.
They're just ready, like the drop of a hat,
dude.
Ready to explode erupt.
Yeah.
Now I think that's a positive thing too. Falcons fans are ready to actually celebrate something.
Yes.
Falcons fans talk, and it's one of the most beautiful things that you can do as a sports fan, because you have no other choice but to talk yourself into positivity eventually.
Right.
It's January. The season hadn't even been over for a month. It's fresh. You're furious, whatever. By August, everyone's going to be back in.
Yeah.
I told you it's going to take me till the summer, but when the summer comes around, I'll be ready to talk about Michael Penix and how excited we are about it.
Right.
But it happens every single year because that's what you do as a fan. It's a beautiful thing. Falcons fans were buying Desmond Ridder. 2 years ago, we were told, you and I were told, that we were sleeping on Desmond Ridder. We were told by analysts that maybe Marcus Mariota could find it and actually be a long-term solution, because, I don't know, we're sick, man. We're dope sick. We need it. I don't know what it is. We're addicts. And every time August comes around, we get that itch.
Yeah, man.
You start itching that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I need another fix.
Yeah, like
you get the fix.
Like, you know who old boy that be on the hill yelling the whole time? Oh, yeah, you don't think he coming through with a bull damn horn?
Of course he is.
You know? Yeah,
he's
going to be up there.
And if they were out there right now, that bullhorn would be a lot of negativity.
Yes.
But by July and August, he's going to have his Penix jersey on.
Uh-huh.
He's going to have watched the highlights from those three games, all those throws, that back shoulder to Drake. He's going to be ready to go.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll be up there.
Because if it wasn't for those guys, the Falcons would have no fans.
Right.
Because if you're not a diehard, what are you? You know what I mean?
Right.
There's no bandwagon fans.
No, there are no bandwagon
Falcons
fans.
Only teams that you know. The Commanders probably have some bandwagon fans right now, because it's been a real long time, generations since they've done this. They probably have some bandwagon fans right now. There were bandwagon fans in 16 when the Falcons got hot and made it to the Super Bowl. There's no bandwagon fans right now. There's diehard fans.
They're diehard.
That's it.
And these folks,
thank God for them.
And I love them. I love them, man. But damn, it's got to be, like you just said, the miserable of having that feeling in their gut that – just because it's going so good right now, you're waiting for it to be. That's where this organization needs to get. Get that out of the pit of your fans.
Yeah, they have to.
You got
to
get that feeling.
That's a long process.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
You
got to
get that feeling out of your –
it's a long process.
You can't –
even Braves fans have it.
Yeah, you can't –
you know?
Oh, hell yeah.
And the Braves are one of the best organizations
in baseball.
Gotta
you got to get it out of them from the standpoint of they're waiting for something bad to happen.
Yep.
All right, they really can't enjoy the good like you should, because you know at the end of the good, it's something's going to happen.
Yeah, the other shoe's going
to
drop.
Something's going to happen.
And it's going to land right on your junk.
Yep.
It's going to be a steel.
Right there. Right. And it usually, as far as when I was talking to some Falcon fan, he said when Kirk Cousins, whatever happened, he said it was right on time, Randy.
Right on time.
I was like, what you talking about?
Yeah.
He said right on time.
An unprecedented fallout?
He said everything was going too good.
Yep.
We were all happy,
6-3,
excited,
NFC
everything like that.
Of the week.
We're on national TV.
Yeah, they're talking good
talking
about him.
Good about him and everything like that. And he said, Randy, it was right on time.
Right on time. If it's unprecedented and bad, just wait.
Yeah.
They'll do it.
Yeah. That
train's never late.
Yeah, right. I said right on time.
I'll tell you this: if you're in a relationship with a Falcons fan, you don't have to worry. They're loyal.
Yeah.
They're gonna be there
for you.
They're
gonna be there. They're gonna be out there.
Thick and thin.
It's gonna be 90 damn degrees and all that damn humidity. 100 degrees and all that. And they're gonna be on that stand. They're gonna be on that hill.
If you're in a relationship with a Falcons fan, you have nothing to worry about. They are coming home at night. They are coming home at night. We're broadcasting live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. We'll be here till 2:00 this afternoon. We'd love to see you. You want to come by and say what's up? We'll get into an NFL no huddle coming up next. Championship weekend on Sunday right here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.